Hi, welcome everyone on the BBS line. This is our Monday night call with Winfrey, and we're just waiting for him to join us. Actually, we've got a few minutes before 6 o'clock, but welcome, and hope that you enjoy the call.
Yeah, I've noticed that BBS has been coming on earlier, anywhere between 5 to 7 minutes earlier, quite often the last few weeks.
Oh, well, that's good.
But
hi, welcome to the Monday night call.
Hi, Gail from New Jersey.
Hi, Gail. I'll start to know everyone and where they're from. Gail from New Jersey. Because you come as well to the meditation call, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although sometimes I fall asleep. You know, it's 10 o'clock here in New Jersey.
I know. I think a lot of people do because sometimes, you know, I'll look at the monitor, you know, an hour or two later and there's people still there.
Well, I think what they are is
yes.
they're sleeping with the energy coming through to them.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's all
probably
good.
Not a bad thing.
No, it isn't. Hi, good evening. Welcome to our Monday night call. Would you like to say your name and city? Hello?
Only if you want to. It's not mandatory, but we're nosy people.
Hi, Winnie.
We're those females, I guess.
Welcome to our Monday night call.
How's Don in Northern Ohio? Hey, everybody.
Hi, Don.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to our Monday night call.
Yeah. I forgot to tell you where I was from. This is Andrew from Detroit.
From Detroit. Hi. Welcome, Andrew.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, we've got a few. Well, it's 6 o'clock right now, but we're just waiting for Wynn and Terry to arrive.
Hey, Andrew, are you new? Is this on the call?
Hello, Andrew?
Yes?
Hi,
I was wondering,
are you new to our call?
Well, no, I normally listen to the archives.
Ah.
But I've been listening. I found out about Winfrey about 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
2014.
Quite a long time. Yeah, and someone else just joined us. Hi, welcome to our Monday night call.
Hi, this is Prudence and Nancy from Michigan. Hi.
Hi, Prudence and Nancy. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
I'm not sure. I might have missed someone. Did someone just come on? Welcome to our call.
Thank you. This is Deb in Oregon.
Hi, Deb. Welcome.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Good, thanks.
Good.
Hi, welcome to our Monday night call. Would you like to say your name and city? Or sometimes people want to be in the background. That's okay, too.
Hello, Cynthia in New Hampshire.
Hi, welcome to our Monday night call.
It's Roger in Austin.
Hi, Roger. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Monday night call.
Hi, it's Chris in Memphis.
Hi, Chris. Welcome.
Hey there. Thanks.
And I think one more person joined us, if anyone would like to say the name and city.
Anybody ever read the book Medication Madness by Dr. Peter Bregan?
By Dr. Peter who?
Bregan.
No.
Sounds interesting.
It does.
It's about pharmaceuticals make you crazy.
Well, I believe that.
He's pretty regularly on Coast to Coast.
I'll have to watch out for him. Hi, welcome to the Monday Night Call. Welcome to the Monday Night Call. Do you like to see your name and city?
This is Bonnie in California.
Hi, Bonnie. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
Janine from Salt Lake City.
Hi, Janine. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
We're just waiting for Wynn and Terry. Monday night call. Would you like to say your name and city?
Hello, this is Terry in Dallas.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Colleen.
How are you tonight?
I'm great tonight.
Good.
I'm always looking forward to these calls.
We're just waiting for Wynn and Terry to come in.
Okay.
Yet.
They forgot.
That would be not the first time, but it would be strange. Good evening. Welcome to our Monday night call. Would you like to say your name and city?
Oh, okay. My name is City.
I can get away with that about every 16 months.
Yes. Okay. Michael, is that you?
Yes, it is, of course.
Oh, okay. At first, I didn't recognize your voice.
Well, it's quite all right. Quite all right. Sometimes I don't recognize it either, so.
Mm.
So seems like a quiet Monday.
It is a quiet Monday, and we're still waiting for Wynn.
Oh,
well, he'll show up sooner or later.
I think so.
He knows that we can't start without him. Of course, I'm thinking
later.
Good evening. Welcome to the Monday Night Call.
Hi, Lena.
Hi, Lena.
How are you, Colleen?
I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful.
Good. Good. We're still waiting for Wynn and Terry.
Can anybody call those guys?
Yes.
They should know. I mean, email them by now.
BBS.
Hi, welcome to the Monday Night Call. Would you like to say your name and city?
Well, you'll take no for an answer. Okay.
Okay, that's all right.
I've got to call
welcome
it back
to
in.
The Monday
My
Night
battery
call.
Is wearing out. So I'll be back.
Okay. Welcome to the Monday Night Call. Would you like to say your name and city? Lena, do you want to try to call Wynn?
What?
Do you want to call Terry and see?
Well, Terry went to the doctor this afternoon. I just talked to Wynn about a half hour ago. He was going to check on it. Just give him a minute.
Okay. Okay. Good evening. Welcome to the Monday Night Call. Would you like to say your name and city?
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jane. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
I know it's a little late, but hi, welcome to the Monday night call. Would you like to say your name and city? Oh, I think
yes, I'm back.
Calling. You're calling back, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Okay, that sounds better, actually.
Well, maybe I will call.
Okay, thanks, Lena.
Who's that?
Good evening. Welcome to the Monday night call. Would you like to say your name and city?
Yeah, hi, it's Rick from Iowa City.
Oh, hi, Rick.
Hi.
We're still waiting for Wynn.
Oh, okay. I didn't forget what time it is.
It's,
apparently so did he, yes.
You know,
I've got 6:08.
Okay.
Well, Colleen, don't tell Heinz I said this, but it's so much more soothing to hear your voice when I call in.
Oh, I won't. But we seem to have a connection because usually I have a feeling that he's not going to be there, and he sends me a text, but tonight he didn't. But he sent me an email, and I just saw it, like just minutes before the call. Hi, welcome to the Monday night call. Would you like to say your name and city?
Steve Canal, West Palm Beach.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you.
It must be nice in West Palm Beach. A lot better than our snow and ice here.
You're in Vancouver, yes?
Yeah, but we had a snowstorm.
Oh.
So.
Actually, a friend of mine in Vancouver, Washington, which is, 500 miles from you, also said they got snow.
Really?
I think the whole Pacific Northwest got snow.
Wow. Yeah, it was my son-in-law couldn't get to work today.
Wow, that's big. That's a huge snowstorm.
I
used to love those when I was a kid, and we get to stay home from school legitimately.
Yeah. Good evening, Good evening, welcome to the Monday night call. Do you like to say your name and city?
Hi, it's Michelle in Cambria.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, and Catherine from California.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Well, they're piling in.
Yes. Hi, welcome to the Monday. Terry?
Hi, this is Terry. Wynn's going to be right behind me here.
Oh, hooray. Thank you.
Hi, Terry. Well, don't stop short. He could bump into you.
Yeah. I went to the doctor and had a doctor's appointment and went and got some pizza at Whole Foods. And we were going, what are we going to do on the call? And it was like,
nothing,
extra time. Oh, it went by.
Well, I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. Yeah.
Good evening. Thanks. Hi, Lena. Is that you?
Hi.
Hi.
Are they on?
Terry's here.
Yeah, we're here. I'm here. Wynn's going to come on right now.
Great.
I was sitting here going, what am I going to do on the call tonight?
I hope Wynn knows what to talk about.
What?
I hope Wynn knows what to talk about. What was he going to talk about?
On time.
Right. I think that's what was going on time.
Oh, there you are. Hi, welcome. Welcome to the Monday Night Call.
The topic is being on time.
Yes.
All right, Terry, you start.
Yeah. I think thinking of it, you know, early. Like, how early is early?
Well, you know what? I finally have. I'm not sure if it's my worst nightmare or my best blessing, but I'm walking around with a telephone on my ear. It's 7 o'clock, it's 8 o'clock, we got to be on. And not only that, but I got to come on these calls like, how do I say this, like I'm not prepared for it. So I have to leave it out of my mind until the last minute so that I am spontaneous. All right? And here I am.
That we are.
That shouldn't be hard tonight, right?
Well, it takes a lot of practice to be spontaneous.
Commissioner Collins.
Who is that, Michael?
No.
Michael. Hi, Michael.
Greetings.
I just went to a doctor's appointment and haven't been in a million years, and his name was Dr. Adler. And I asked related to you, and he said no.
I was masquerading, yes. As long as he wasn't an OBGYN, we're good. All right. So,
Michael.
Yes, sir.
I know what we should do tonight, okay? You and I should compete with each other.
I'm already ahead of you. I don't know if you even want to start.
You might beat me?
I said I'm already ahead of you. You probably don't want to even start.
Yeah, you've been there for 10 minutes.
That's right.
Have you been entertaining everybody?
Not much of a
No, actually, I haven't. Colleen has been doing a marvelous job.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I could just say, Michael, why don't you do the call tonight?
And I would say, no, I don't think so. I'd hand that ticking time bomb right back to you.
You would say, oh my God, I'm not prepared.
I think that you need to be mentally prepared. I think you need to empty out, which is what you were describing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You were describing the process of emptying out so you could get in the flow.
Well, I'll tell you, I was thinking of some things. I'm trying to think of...
Draining yourself again.
Okay, I'm muting everybody.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
You have control of the mute button.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You can't compete with the guy
who has
control. Don't
forget the recording.
You can't compete. Well, I wasn't ready to record yet.
Okay.
But thank you for reminding me. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking, like, what's really relevant? What's really relevant? We are in such a precipice right now. Okay, I'll start the recording. Okay.
This conference is being recorded.
Okay, this is December 12th. 12/12, 2016. Wynn and Terry in Sedona. Everybody everywhere. And we're just talking about what we're going to talk about tonight, particularly since I didn't think the call was going to start for another hour and somebody had to say, Wynn, where are you? So we didn't send out the email. Somebody said the BBS buttons are not working to get to, you know, the link on BBS for the internet broadcast. So, in any case, we're just moving forward. And earlier in the day, I was thinking of a couple of things. One thing that's obvious to me is that sooner or later, and I don't know how long later is, and I don't know how short sooner is, but there is going to be some kind of huge breakdown. And whether it's deliberate or it happens through circumstances, a lot of people are saying it's unavoidable. And no matter how much we keep petitioning our sources, no, 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 save the economy, no, 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 do this, I don't think they can do that. I think the it's everything is too damaged at a foundational level. And it's like most of us, including me, are kind of thinking, well, I'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But I thought I would give some thoughts about what that bridge might look like when we come to it. And, I mean, this is only very subjective, okay? I mean, I don't know. The Elohim doesn't, you know, hit me on the head and say, Lynn, here's what the bridge is going to, here's what it's going to look like. There's so many variables, but something is going to happen. And it's like, is there going to be civil war? Is there going to be a power grid outage? Is there going to be God knows what? And how are you going to take care of yourself? And are you thinking about it now? Or are you going to wait for it to happen? I'm thinking about it now. I mean, I'm not excused from participating in this, okay? Whatever happens is going to affect me and Terry and you and however. And hang on a second. Hang on.
There's another twist. That's thinking about it now and waiting for it to happen.
Well, the thing is, you can think about it now, and you don't want to wait for it to happen.
All callers are unmuted.
You don't want to encourage it to happen, but you don't buy car insurance or health insurance because you think you're going to get into an accident or you think you're going to be sick. Or life insurance because you don't want to leave someone you care about with no money, even when you're not planning on dying. So it's like, what is in the realm of doable right now? Anyone think that's an interesting topic?
I think it's an excellent topic.
Yeah.
So do I.
Yeah.
I like it.
And we can sit and talk to the higher realms. We can sit and do our meditations. We're all going to keep doing that. But that doesn't excuse us from being in bodies on the planet. It may give us a lot of excuse for not being afraid of dying, which I think that happens to a lot of people who are coming to our calls. Because if you keep coming to these calls, it's pretty clear that death is a transition. We just have had too many experiences proving it and how it works. So, so that's one really good thing, that whatever happens, I think there's a good chance a lot of people on this call are going to graduate this realm, and more to come. So let me just ask, what have you guys thought of doing, okay? Anyone have?
I have just recently, yesterday, as a matter of fact, there was a gentleman on, I don't know, who did a YouTube video about pole shift and saying that the United States government, particularly he was referring to the Navy, is quite aware that not only is it real, but that it is going to happen. And they've already sketched maps out with what parts of the U.S. will be underwater and that the New Madrid Fault would activate, et cetera, et cetera, and so on. And, of course, it shows the San Diego area underwater also. And while I don't normally take baths, I thought that it would be a good idea to put together a bug-out bag with, just a change of clothes, a little cash, some, you know, whatever medications or things like that that I need. Certain things that you've got to have for at least a couple of days.
Food and water.
And leave it, well, that too, but leave it in the car.
Yeah. Sounds good.
I thought you were going to say you were going to build an ark.
No, that was my brother. But seriously, you know, I mean, look, we live here in San Diego. It's earthquake territory. And if it isn't earthquake territory, it could well be flood, a tsunami. We've had tsunami warnings here before. There's also a possibility of radiation from the reactors in Japan, which is hitting the West Coast. It's just not being reported. And then you have this. Now, the whole concept of pole shift. In fact, I was going to write you about that because I was curious whether that's been covered with questions to our sources. Or whether you've ever done any sessions on pole shift. The idea is that what this person said is, I think the first week would be extreme and it would take about a month for the entire planet to flip. Well, all of it's going to flip, but I mean, for the turn to be, that's a good question. That's a real good question. I don't have an answer for that. But I think that, they have been calculating that the magnetic field has been moving, and it has been, that's easy to determine, and then after a certain period of time, the planet's going to follow. Just like we make changes spiritually, and then our body follows.
Uh-huh.
So it's going to be it's going to happen that way. It's an exciting time that who knows what's going to happen first, you know? It's quite interesting, and I decided I wasn't going to be in fear about it, but I was going to be prudent. And wouldn't you know it, Wynn heard me, and he put this call together. So I guess you're ahead of me now.
Well, no, it's the call was your idea. I was just following the flow.
Anyway,
okay. Well, here's some thoughts that I have, okay? We don't know what's going to happen and how badly it's going to happen. Okay? We don't know how much longer they can keep things in order. We don't know if they want to keep things in order. Okay? There's some of the movers and shakers, I don't think, want to keep things in order. They would just assume that a worst-case scenario happened and get rid of some of the, what do you call them, eaters?
Useless eaters.
The useless eaters that Bush has addressed.
Or Cheney.
Cheney?
Yeah, I think.
The majority of the population, okay? So one thing is how can you, let's assume there's some modicum of organization. It's not complete anarchy. That maybe there's still food in stores. And who knows what. And there's still business being conducted. okay? Let's assume this, it's in that case. Well, in that kind of situation, someone's going to have to figure out how to have money or something that seems like money, okay? And what happens if the government stops paying Social Security? Okay? Or
well, what happens if they take down the grid and they can't pay Social Security or anything else?
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid it's going to happen. We're going to have a big EMP attack and blame it on Russia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Well, I think they set it up to blame things on Russia. You know,
yeah.
It's like then they can justify a nuclear war. All right? So, well, I mean, at a certain point, we're just going to have to kiss our asses goodbye and say, see you, Realm. It was nice. We'll be back in 20,000 years when things change a little bit. I think that's the way it happens sometimes, where people go into a holding place and the realm goes through whatever it goes through, and then they come back when the swing shifts, okay? On the other hand, who knows? Maybe Donald Trump can, I don't know if he can, how can he single-handedly change everything, all right? When all these systems are going down. I mean, he's promised to. And is he naive? Or can he do something? I mean, I got a feeling the more he gets into office, the more he's going to learn about stuff that he didn't know about. I don't think he knew about a lot of stuff.
That's why he had an hour and a half with Obama instead of a 15-minute that is traditional, because Obama realized that, oh, he has no clue. We got to help him.
Yeah. Well, he's done some smart Maybe. Things. Like he said, he doesn't want his briefing, his daily briefing. You know, the thing in that every morning the guy shows up and brings him his drugs and...
Yes, but Pence is attending them.
Who? Oh,
Pence,
really?
His vice president.
Oh,
he's attending
really?
Them.
Well, oh,
what Trump said, and who knows whether he's going to do this, because he changes everything he said. But he said that Pence would be president for international and domestic affairs, and Trump would sit around in his chair and play CEO and scream, "You're fired." But he's good at that.
I heard Mike Pence say
really
that
good.
Mike Pence said he's going to model his vice presidency after Dick Cheney, so you can see where his head's at.
He said that?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, my goodness.
Well, as a congressman, took on some of the heavyweight leadership, the Democratic leadership, and that's not something that someone with a year and a half in Congress would or should do, and he did it and got away with it because of whoever was backing him up.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Pence.
Mm-hmm. Well, in any case, let's talk about what we can do, all right? Okay, we can pick up a big collection and buy some land and have everybody move on it and live in tents.
Oh, no.
How many people, we can grow food and there's water and that we clear it to make sure it's not an earthquake zone. Who wants to do that?
You don't have to live in tents. You don't have to live in tents. You can build a, if you go to a Dome Gaia on the internet, you can build a aerated concrete dome for like $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to live in a tent.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, who has a bunch of money so we can buy the land?
I don't know.
I've got some land.
Pardon me?
Where do you live?
I've got land in Texas. It's like a little over 6 acres. It's a lot of trees on it. Some would need to be cleared, but you could definitely heat yourself with the wood.
And that's not sustainable easily for a large group of people. Now, one of the things that this, and I'll find it and I'll send it to you, Wynn. What this person was saying is that there are a large number of CIA offices that are being moved to Colorado and to this place. I think it was somewhere between Arkansas and the next state, because that was considered a safe zone. And if I recall correctly, that title, safe zone, has come up before. And I think that it might even been our sources that have mentioned that there would be safe zones to get to. But, of course, first you have to survive where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're talking about being proactive and going there, finding a safe zone to begin with.
I'm just throwing things out, okay?
It seems to me there has to be some kind of community effort going on.
Yeah.
You can't do everything by yourself.
I can't take care of
That's
everybody.
True.
You know? I can provide a focal point or a place for people to talk about things, a place for people to meet each other, a place for people of high intent, okay? But I can't solve all the problems. And neither can the Elohim or the Ra group, okay? So we are on our own to be creatively making things work. Now, one thought that I've had, and I'll just run it out. We have a business going. Now, I don't know how long that can go, okay? I don't know how many years, how many months, but it is working now. And it has a lot of room for expansion. And the thought has crossed my mind to figure out a way that people that are not necessarily sharp salespeople or business people can make some money. Like, if you figure there's always going to be some people that have something, some money, how do you make money with our products? Well, here's the good news and the bad news. The good news is they work. People love them, okay? And the bad news is most people don't believe they could work, just like most people couldn't believe we're doing what we're doing right now. It's beyond their comprehension. But it's easier to convince people that wellness pendants work than the Elohim is real. In general. And as people get more stressed out, it's a product that could catch on. Assuming that someone has some money out there, spend a little bit of money for a pendant. In the Depression of 1929, the businesses that thrived in that period were alcohol and entertainment. Okay? People were trying to lift themselves from being depressed. And probably the business that the common man did, you know what it was? Anyone old enough? No. Michael, you know what it was? The common man business? No. Selling apples on the street. People were managing to survive by selling apples. That became the comet. Did you know that, Terry?
No, I didn't, but I know in Russia, we bought a bag of oranges, and we walked down the street with them. And people would, everybody looked at them. Somebody rushed up and wanted to pay a dollar to buy an orange, a ruble, to buy an orange for her daughter.
Okay, I'm unmuted. During the Depression, apples were being sold for like a nickel, and there were people who were hiring other people to sell apples because you had to get them from somewhere, etc. But, you know, I mean, that wasn't something that thousands of or millions of people were making a living at. I mean, somebody's got to eat the apple. Somebody's got to be able to afford to buy the apple as well.
Here we go. I got a picture of a guy selling apples on the street in St. Louis, okay? I'm not suggesting this. I'm just giving you an idea of the kind of things came up in the Great Depression. And what does it say about him?
Oh, people swept floors. They did lots of menial tasks. There was a lot of things besides selling apples. I mean, like I said, somebody's got to be able to eat the apple. Somebody's got to be able to afford to buy the apple.
And that, well, in that case, obviously there were people who could afford to pay to get their floors cleaned, their windows cleaned, you know.
Well, I think the point is that food is a good field to be in. I mean, it's kind of the last thing that people would be buying.
A man sells apples for 5 cents each on the street in St. Louis during the Great Depression. This was one of the signature images of those hard times. In 1933, at its worst, 25% of the American workforce was jobless. Most historians date the Depression to the stock market crash in 1929 when unemployment was low. 6 months later, 35,000 able-bodied St. Louis people were out of work. Only 1 in 6 members of the Plasterers Union was employed. And people are saying that this one's going to be worse, far worse than that one.
If you don't mind my interrupting, it's already pretty much close to what that was. It's just that the numbers keep being shifted around.
Yeah.
People who have given up looking for work are no longer included. And what the government is trying to tell you, there's 5% unemployment right now, which is totally ridiculous. In any economy, it's never going to be less than 3 to 4%, because that's called frictional unemployment. That's from people moving into jobs and moving out of jobs. So, you know, what we're being told is not accurate by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, well, what else is new?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if you figure out, if you recalculate, it's somewhere at least 20% and maybe more. Mm-hmm. So when history says 25% of the population of the United States was unemployed, and we've got probably well over 20%, if it isn't at least what the Great Depression was like, it's pretty darn close to it. Mm-hmm. And they just don't want to use the D word. They'd rather use the R word.
Mm-hmm.
They'd rather call it a recession than a depression.
Mm-hmm.
Because a depression means you have to point to somebody's, it's somebody's fault. You know, the government has to do something about it. The recession, the government really isn't doing much about it.
Mm-hmm. The other thing is,
they've sent the jobs overseas.
It's all preventable. You know, North Dakota has a state bank. The bank is run by the state for the benefit of the people. They don't have a private money system. And all you have to do is do that on a national level, and you could avoid all this stuff.
Yeah. But you see, one of the things that happened during the Great Depression was an enormous transfer of wealth. And that also happened in 2008. And anytime there's been one of these things, there are plenty of people with lots of money who know how to make money during a recession or a depression. They know how to make money when the market turns down because I don't know how they do, but they do. And
they buy everything up at a very low price.
Mm-hmm. And then they sit on it, is what you're saying, until they can resell it, until the market changes.
Well, it's all a scam. People with capital can do that, okay? But most people, at least around this work, don't have capital, okay? Now, what we could do is find a lonely billionaire who wants something to do with the rest of his life. Michael, I'm assigning you that project.
What? Becoming the billionaire? Sure, no problem.
No, no, you got to find one.
Find him.
No, I'd rather just become the billionaire.
Well, the chances of finding one are higher than becoming one, possibly.
Maybe we get Terry to get winning lottery numbers again.
Yeah, well, you see, but that's part of what we've been, what we have basically descended to. And that we're in such a tremendous scarcity consciousness that, you know, we're thinking about doing stuff like this to make money. And which is still working for somebody. Sorry, Wayne. But it's still working for somebody else. Okay, and being at their beck and call. So
I recently read a book I would recommend to anybody interested in this. It was called Runaway Inequality. By author Les Leopold, and his other books are good too. He explains how it's basically the financialists have siphoned all the money out of the economy and screwed everybody else while they're making billions.
Yes, it's quite deliberate, and this crash that we're talking about is quite deliberate. And people who and logic says, well, you know, someone like Trump has $1 billion, maybe close to that, half of that, whatever, but he's still got hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. Why would he want to see the dollar fall? Why would he want to see it crash unless he's already got it protected somehow?
And at the right time, play the market.
That's part of protection.
Hey, let me make a point here, okay? I know if Michael was on the line, and I didn't mute him, we'd get into it. So here's an important point, Michael. There's nothing wrong with working for someone else when you have the right kind of co-creative connection. We are creatures of collaboration, and you can't. If everyone said, well, I'm not going to work for anybody, then where do things come from? It's co-creation that makes things happen.
That wasn't the point that I was trying to make. The point I was trying to make is that we're in a place of scarcity and we're looking for somebody else to fix it for us. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about.
Wait. I'm not in a place of scarcity. I'm just looking at the reality of situations.
Oh, sure you are. You're always asking for something. I mean, okay, look, let's not have this discussion now. Okay, let's talk about it another time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I forgot this is Monday, not Saturday.
Right.
So let's talk about this another time.
Wait a second. I don't want to get intellectual on this. I mean, there's a lot of ways of looking at this intellectually. I'm trying to look at, on a grassroots level, there's people in our calls right now that are struggling, that can't make their ends meet, and they're really beautiful, nice people. And I feel them. I'm saying, is there a way I can contribute, okay? I don't need people to work for me. I am totally, you know, making things work with that. I mean, Terry is working for me or with me. Elena's working with me. But yeah, well, I look at the business that I'm doing as part of a collective. It's just another manifestation of the law.
And that's fine. And to an extent, you can extend your tailcoat through coattails and allow, you know, a certain number of people to grab on. What I'm talking about is changing a person's attitude in general in terms and trying to move from scarcity to a prosperity consciousness, okay? Mm-hmm. Because then we're still creating it. I'm not really talking about you, okay? Mm-hmm. That is not the point. The point is that people have become, in general, we've been ratcheted downward, mm-hmm. through fear and through scarcity to become even more scarce. We've brought you down to the point where when we find someone who's got a pension, we want to jump on them.
Michael, I'm going to put you in charge of the project. Saturday, you do a workshop, and you teach people how to go from scarcity into abundance.
No, I'm not going to accept that.
You see what I mean? I mean, it's like you can talk in platitudes, but when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, how do you do that?
Well, if you would let me finish, I would get to that place. Okay?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. One of the things that you need to do if you want to be self-employed or you want to create multiple streams of income, and this is something I'm doing myself, okay, is mm-hmm. that I've just been looking up, first of all, if the shit hits the fan, pardon me, when the shit hits the fan, you're going to have people that need certain skills. For example, welding would be an extremely important skill to have. Carpentry, construction skills, also medical skills. So I just read something and a boom went off in my head to go to local colleges and see what type of classes they have on EMT, emergency medical technician. To do things like that. Now, you obviously would be working for somebody else, but the idea is that you would have skills that you can market that make you valuable, that when someone is choosing to say, okay, who am I going to bring under the roof right now because it's raining out? Oh, I'll bring you because you know how to treat someone if they have a heart attack or if they're bleeding or if something is happening that we don't know what to do with. Okay, and that's why I was thinking of taking some classes, some courses on EMT. I think in one semester, you can get enough skills to become almost as competent as a nurse. Now that you won't understand a lot of stuff, but functionally, you'll know how to do certain things. You'll know how to stop or set a bone or stop a wound from bleeding, okay? That is a real piece of information that I can contribute. I'm not interested in taking on your group in terms of converting all their scarcity consciousness. That's setting me up to fail, and I won't accept that. Okay, and as the shockwave rolls over, that's my point. My point is I'm trying to, you said, what do we do to come up with ideas, come up with ways? And you came up with one. You said you have a business and you believe the business has room for expansion and maybe somebody could have a job. There's nothing wrong with that. What I'm saying is contributing to that meme and saying, how about acquiring some skills that you can acquire in a short period of time that you can market? And the one that I saw that made a whole lot of sense to me and maybe makes sense to a lot of other people, because there are a lot of people on this call who are healers to begin with. They're energetic healers. Convincing people the Elohim are real, energetic healing isn't something that's well accepted, and certainly that's not the person I would go to if uh, if my arm had fallen off and I needed someone to reattach it, okay? So this is, you know, that's my point. And that's one thing that you can do. Now, that's going to take a little bit of time, okay? And it is, I'm saying do things that are prudent, okay? If you can acquire skills in a short period of time, do so. If you can buy some silver or gold or something that's valuable that you can trade, do it. Things that you can trade, foodstuffs go bad after a certain period of time. Okay, but you know, there are certain things that you can get and store that will be good for at least a couple of years, so canned foods, if you get them right at the right time. I've noticed things at Costco sometimes only have a six-month shelf life left, and I wondered why. Because usually when you buy something in cans, that it's usually 18 months or 2 years, two years that it's still considered good for, best before.
Actually, right. I want to mention, I did some search on that at one time, and they said in most cases, canned food will last a lot longer than what it says on the can.
I agree. When they say best before.
Might start going down on nutritional value, right?
And so when they say, right, nutritional value is going to change, and you have to realize that there are also things that you have to have. I mean, if you're only going to eat one type of food, you are going to get so constipated. And that sounds funny, and people laugh when you mention constipation, but you've got to be able to deal with that. So you've got to have fiber in your diet. You have to be able to create something that's going to allow you to go through a few cycles of the year. Mm-hmm. And I think this gentleman that I referred to in the beginning was talking about, and I wanted to send it to you so you could disperse it, was talking about getting a two-year supply of food. Mm-hmm. Now, I've got a little book here by James Wesley Rawls, and he is the founder of Survival Blog. I can't read whether that's .com or .net because the label, the price tag is on it. I always wonder when people put stuff like that on there. But it's survivalblog.com.
Yeah, okay, I got to just say, one legitimate question is, if you happen to live in the city and you have a two-year supply of food and the people are starving, what's going to happen? It's like, you know, if you live out of the city and in little smaller towns, people in a town will probably come together and help each other. But in the city, God knows what could happen.
Okay, you're exactly right, Wayne, on that. The worst place to be, if there's a massive catastrophe, the worst place to be is in the city.
In the city, yeah.
Because you cannot guard your home and your family 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Best
Absolutely.
Place to go is out of the city into a small community where people can come together. You nailed it, Wayne.
And if you have a place protect it.
I just want to say that somebody could do a research project on looking, even if you don't buy a plot of land, look at a small city with some sense of community, and people could start moving in that city. You know, there's little cities around Sedona, like Cottonwood, which is not very expensive. There's Prescott, there's Flagstaff.